by On Fire Ministries in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it is about the gospel of the kingdom. Zechariah 2:5, but I declares the Lord will be a wall of fire to her on all sides. That will be the glory in her midst. Today, we are going to have an extended briefing on Patriot Radio. There is so much happening in the world. And one in particular that I want to focus on today regarding the World Economic Forum, that I just feel that it is imperative that we go the entire show. So we're going to talk quite a bit today. You're going to want to take notes. You're going to want to pay attention. And you're also going to want to save this, and you're going to want to send it to your friends and family. Now, I want to talk first on the spiritual principles before we dive into quite a lot that we're going to be talking about. And I want to talk about the spiritual principle of unity in the Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit brings unity. And as we've talked about on the show before, there is a very specific definition of cult that comes into play here. There's people throw this word cult around all the time, but they really never define it. Well, the theological definition of a cult is any organization, denomination, ministry that denies the Trinity, diminishes the deity of Jesus Christ, and denies the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, today, when the Holy Spirit moves, there are a lot of people that are these self-proclaimed Christians. They get very uncomfortable at the move of the Holy Spirit, or that God can actually even do miracles today, as if he is somehow bounded by our own thoughts and our own uncomfortableness. If that's a word, it is now. The fact of the matter is that Holy Spirit is moving. You can go on the mission fields. You can even go places here in America and see testimony after testimony. Millions, tens of millions of testimonies about how the Lord has changed people's lives, how the Lord has healed people, how the Lord has set people free of demonic oppression. And probably one of the greatest fallacies in Christianity today, the greatest deceptions in Christianity today, is that evil exists in the world, but there is nothing we can do about it. It's even worse than the deception that evil doesn't exist. And it has trapped people, put them in a prison of hopelessness. That yes, they can be a Christian, but no, there's nothing that can be done if they are suffering from depression or struggling with addiction. When in fact, Jesus Christ wants us to be completely set free in every aspect of our lives. And that when we know Jesus, and then we know the truth will set us free. What's the truth? The truth is the power of God is still moving today. The truth is that evil does exist in the world, and there is something that we can do about it. The truth is that we have been empowered from on high, if we want it, to do something about it. The truth is that evil will continue to move forward unless it's stopped. That's why Jesus had to come. If that wasn't true, then he wouldn't have come. And so as we talk about some of the evil in the world today, we're going to be talking about the real solutions, or show how it's the counterfeit and what the actual truth is, what the reality is. Now, it's interesting that the word unreality is actually used for this grand satanic plan, and that's really what we're seeing today, unreality around the world. We're seeing unreality regarding biology, unreality regarding property rights, unreality regarding the Second Amendment. We're seeing unreality regarding the body of Christ and the power of God. And when we define words like that, cult, and then we realize that one of the parts of that is denying the power of the Holy Spirit, and that should really have us take a hard look, self-introspection as to what really we believe. Do we really know the truth? Truth being defined as reality as God sees it, knowledge being defined as truth understood and accepted by the mind. Now, a lot of people will understand something, but they don't really ever truly accept the reality of God. They'll understand a truth that God himself has said, but they don't really accept that truth into their lives. And I can actually, any one of us actually, can know what somebody else believes by their actions. Do you really believe God is sovereign? What are your actions? Because if you believe God is sovereign, if you believe God is the great physician and the great healer, you believe God is the great deliverer, and yet you don't believe people can be delivered, then do you believe what you say you believe? And do we actually believe what we believe is really real? The fruit of the Spirit, what we're supposed to look for as a discernment point, implies that there are miracles, that there are transformations, that people are one way at one moment and they're totally different the next. And that truth is what is most needed in this time. Because without that truth, then there really can be no unity, because people aren't operating in unity in the Spirit because they don't even believe the Spirit can move. And so therefore they create disunity by disbelieving, diminishing, and denying the Holy Spirit. This is a very critical point. The other part of it, too, is the human penchant for drama. Creating situations, creating offense, hanging on to offense, picking up offense, using offense to manipulate people. And I'm going to make a very strong statement now. Drama kills people. Talking to some folks earlier today, you know, drama prevents there from being unity because it's denying the power of Holy Spirit to actually solve the situation. It's denying the blood of Jesus Christ to solve the situation. It's denying the love of the Father to solve a situation. And so when somebody is offended and they run around creating a situation of disunity, they're doing so because, again, they're denying, in some sense, the Holy Spirit. And so as a result of that, the full power of God is not unleashed in his church today because the church is not operating in unity. Now, some people define unity as unity for the sake of unity. No, that's not true. I used to call it coalitions around issues of principle in the political sphere. Look, I'm not going to budge off my principles, but if you agree with one thing, we're going to work on that one thing that we agree on in principle. But in the spirit, there is no compromise. There is no one thing we agree on. We have to agree on everything that the Holy Spirit agrees on, because he is bringing us that revelation. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying us, and we have to come into alignment with him. So when we're out of alignment with him, then we become out of alignment with each other. When we're out of alignment with each other, then it's as if the power is completely diffused and spilled on the ground, instead of being focused where God has called us to focus that power. So today and tonight, let me pray about, do I believe that Holy Spirit moves today? Do I believe that God moves in power today? Do I believe that God moves in power through me, through you today. Because ultimately, that's what's holding us back, is that unbelief. All of us. And it's a cautionary tale for all of us. There's nobody above anybody else. But it is that important of an issue. And it's one issue that if we came together thoughtfully in prayer, God is desperate to release the answer to all of us. And he is actually desperate to see his power released. And he is desperate to see us blessed and the world around us blessed as well. Some people say, that word turns me off, desperate. It's really the only way to describe how God chases after us. How he chases after us. And I think that there's a truth there, that he won't let us get away with manipulation, but he still pursues us in love. And that brings us to your daily intelligence briefing. Now, as I start the briefing today, I'm going to mention a couple of times just so people can write this down, but you're going to want to go to www.frc.org, so familyresearchcouncil.org/prepare to stand. So frc.org, prepare to stand, and check out that video series. It is preparing us for what is coming very soon here in the United States, and in fact, in some places, is already here. Now, we're going to move next to the international front. We have so much to talk about here. I want to just tell you that the predictions about the Middle East heating up, the predictions about China and the Pacific heating up, and the predictions in regards to Ukraine and Russia are all falling into line right now. And I want to again caution people who are taking lock, stock, and barrel the narrative, even on the right, regarding what's happening in Russia. They're missing many key components. Now, again, that doesn't mean that everything there is hunky-dory on the Ukrainian side, okay? What I'm saying is we need to be accurate in our assessments so we do not get deceived. And in what's interesting to me is, you know, I had people commenting on some of the social media, you provide them all the evidence and it doesn't matter because it goes against their preconceived notion. Don't fall into that trap. Let the evidence take you. Let the objective analysis take you where it needs to take you. And one of those things that I want to talk about today, starting in Ukraine, is Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is the head of Wagner Group, which is the mercenary group for Russia, and really is responsible for the few wins that they have had. Now, what is fascinating about Prigozhin is he has been very, very public and outspoken against Shoigu, the defense minister, and also even Gerasimov, the head of the Russian army. And so what people need to understand is that is not normal in the Russian culture and in the Russian hierarchy. In fact, Zhukov, who is the lead general in World War II for Russia, actually was in the Gulag. He was actually imprisoned for speaking out against some of Stalin's tactics and strategies. And then he was later brought back and rehabilitated. Well, this is a long-standing cultural thing. So the fact that Yevgeny Prigozhin is doing this, people are saying, oh, it's disinformation. The Russians are intentionally having him come out there. I don't think so. There is something else going on here. Again, you have to understand Russian culture to understand this. There's something else going on here, and it's obviously a power play right now. And Prigozhin even admitted they lost 20,000 soldiers in Bakhmut. Now, obviously, that's not the real number, and it's obviously going to be a low number because that's what is normally put out on both sides, the low numbers. But what it does tell me is that there is enough of a rift inside of Russia right now, that people are openly challenging the leadership, which means, again, Russia lost the moral level of the war when it invaded a sovereign country. And I've heard all of these kind of ridiculous excuses. Ukraine was only a country up to, it was still a sovereign country. Okay, so you lose the argument there, period, end of story. A, and B, you don't really understand the history, because Russia actually started in Kyiv. It was Kyiv Rus. That's where it started. Okay, so people are missing the history here, and it's glossed over. I don't want to get into all of that today, but what I do want to say is this. They lost the moral level of the war by invading a sovereign country. They are losing the mental level of the war now with the infighting that is very apparent, and also the indiscriminate shelling and destruction of cities. So nobody really can say that's good. I mean, anybody that claims to be a Christian could not say that's good, that there's wholesale destruction of cities. Well, that in addition to the partisan warfare, and there's got to be a book written on this after the war that will outline the dramatic successes of partisans, intelligence operations, and sabotage groups inside Russia, because it stopped in Western Belarus, the Russian army, from coming straight south and cutting the supply lines between Poland and Ukraine. The same partisan groups slowed down and, in many cases, destroyed rail lines into Eastern Ukraine, which slowed down Russian offensives. And you also have the massive failure to stop an explosive-laden truck from blowing up on the bridge to Crimea. Just a few examples. So Prigozhin has come out basically and said that they could lose Russia because they're losing in Ukraine. Those are, you can listen to what he said. And again, listen to what he said. And when you hear that, you understand that right now, Russia is in a precarious position. Objective numbers say that their entire armored force, their active armored force, is almost completely destroyed, if not totally destroyed, and they're relying on reserves. Massive video evidence of this. There have been video after video geolocated showing train cars coming with T-52 tanks. Now, the way that Russian nomenclature works on tanks, you have a T-90 that was made in 1990, you have a T-72, 1972, T-52, 1952. So when you see a T-52 tank, okay, the Russians have reserves, and they're now bringing these tanks in, but they're 1952 tanks. And I want to describe those for you a little bit. First of all, they do not have electronic or hydraulic turning of their turrets. It's done by hand. Now, yes, they can modify those. But again, if you've lost 3,700 tanks already, and people are saying, well, Russians are mobilizing their economy and they're ready to continue to fight for years, that's not the issue. The issue is the perception in Russia right now is they're losing. Regardless of what RT says and tweets, that's their perception. And so the geostrategic analysis has to be that something has got to give. And if the Ukrainians do any kind of a successful counteroffensive, that something will give inside Russia. Now, remember, I said this on this show. Go ahead and bookmark it if you want to. But it just tells us that the world right now is on a very knife edge. Because the thing with communists, like Vladimir Putin, who has never disavowed communism, was a KGB man, okay, who helped to run the assets inside the Russian Orthodox Church, which is completely compromised. And as many people who have ever been in that part of the world or studied it, you can read this in disinformation by General Mihai Pachipa. You can read it in the Venona transcripts, the broken Soviet cables. You can read this in the Matroikan archives, the largest archive smuggled out of the former Soviet Union. You can read this in Pavel Sudoplatov's book as well, one of the key assassins for Joseph Stalin. So you can read these, and you can also read it in probably one of the more important books from a Soviet defector, Anatoly Galitsyn, who was a strategic planner for them. And all of them talk about the idea that the Communist Party would rather go to war than lose power. Now, if Putin is sick, maybe that's what drove up the timeline for them invading Ukraine. Nobody knows if that's really true or not. He does look ill in some photographs. Okay, but it doesn't change the equation. And I want you to remember this, because we're going to talk about this when it comes to China. When communists think they're going to lose power, communists will go to war to preserve power, period. And so this just tells us we're on a knife's edge, which brings us next to the Pacific. Now, pay attention to this. U.S. Ambassador to Japan, Rahm Emanuel. U.S. Ambassador to Japan, Rahm, never let a good crisis go to waste, Emanuel, is spearheading efforts which are intended to reduce service backlogs in the U.S. and allow the Navy to maintain a greater degree of readiness. Nuclear vessels are not expected to be included in any potential agreement. However, there are agreements that are happening, and the fact that Rahm Emanuel is involved very likely means there's going to be war in the Pacific. Which brings us next to China. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Mao Ning told press yesterday that in regard to NATO's opening of a liaison office in Japan, NATO is opening a liaison office in Japan. So now you can see the stark lines that are happening. The Asia Pacific does not welcome group confrontation, does not welcome any military confrontation. Of course, the Chinese are going to say that. But this is the rest of the story that is even more important. Here's what the Chinese say to Japan. She also said that Japan should be extra cautious on the issue of military security due to its history of aggression, referring to the Japanese invasion of China, and specifically Manchuria, before World War II. And it says this. Japan's prime minister said earlier today that his country did not intend to join NATO. But per multiple Japanese officials, they are planning to attend July's NATO summit in Lithuania as a guest. So this is a shot across China's bow. Now, again, you got to know history. It was called the Rape of Nanking. So when the Japanese invaded China, they did some very horrible things. And in fact, the Japanese began a chemical and biological weapons program there that they tested on Chinese civilians. And that after the war was taken over by China. We're going to hear more about that next week when Claire Lopez is on. So China also has appeared to, and this is coming to us from open source intelligence, China appears to have established new military camps and helipads near this disputed border region with India. It looks like they're actually militarizing instead of demilitarizing, as some reports earlier in the year indicated. Find this also fascinating. Before we get to Israel, China also, and so has North Korea specifically, showed their consternation for U.S. war games. I'm going to get to those in a second, but open source intelligence, military planners in China have recently concluded war games focused on a naval battle with the United States. The war games revolved around hypersonic strikes upon U.S. aircraft and aircraft carriers and other vessels, with the planners claiming that virtually every U.S. surface ship was destroyed. This is interesting as well. Multiple rapid maneuvers have taken place in the semiconductor space in recent days, by a variety of nations and firms. Sunday, China's Cybersecurity Administration announced U.S. chip maker Micron had failed the national security investigation. So now you're seeing economic war on that front. And also, the United States and South Korea. The militaries of South Korea and the U.S. held large-scale live military drills near the border with North Korea today, and the drills marked the first of five scheduled to run through mid-June. North Korea has warned against the exercises, saying they constitute invasion preparations. Taiwan's Ministry of National Defense said today that it would receive Link-22, secure communication systems from the U.S. in order to maintain secure communication between the two militaries. Why is this important? Well, clearly, Taiwan is now linking with the United States military. And based on one general's comments, it looks like the United States may actually, in fact, defend Taiwan. Now, this is an interesting stat here. This war game exercise happening with the U.S. and South Korea, about 2,500 troops and 610 weapon systems are involved. And they are simulating artillery and aerial strikes on North Korean facilities. So the North Koreans are right in saying it's aimed at them. But that just tells me that we are edging ever closer to war in the Pacific. Let's move next to Israel. The head of Israel's armed forces, Lieutenant General, said in a speech that Iran has advanced with uranium enrichment farther than ever before. There are negative developments on the horizon that could bring about Israeli military action. Here's the other interesting part. This coming to us from Debka File. No red lines if Israel attacks. Netanyahu, our edge comes from combined human and artificial intelligence. So again, it appears that Israel is right on the verge of attacking at least proxies, Hezbollah, in Lebanon, and potentially targeting Iran as well. Keep your eyes on this. It is huge. We're going to move next. We're going to move next to a couple of really big developments, and one I want to highlight on the international front before I get to the national front. Coming to us from Reuters, Colombia ex-president Uribe could go on trial and witness tampering case. What this really means is that we've seen this happen in other countries, in Latin America, in Asia, where the government will weaponize against political opponents. And that there really can't be free and fair elections when part of the government is weaponized against a political opponent. Well, not only are we seeing this in places like Colombia, we're now seeing that here in the United States of America. That brings us to the national front. On the border, this coming to us, and I want to make sure that Travis gets this up. Biden to end familial DNA testing at the border, opening way for large-scale child trafficking. So they were doing DNA tests to make sure that the kids were actually family members of some kind. Well, now he wants to take it away. It's almost like it's being promoted, trafficking is, by the regime in D.C. Why would you do this? Doesn't make any logical sense to remove DNA testing at the border, period. Doesn't. Well, it could slow down. Yes, fine. Great. It should slow it down. More importantly, the kids. They mean something. We should be protecting them. And this is one way that that should happen. That brings us to the next thing on the national front. A huge case. Been following this case literally for years when I was in the legislature. We talked about this case a couple of times, the Sackett case. Idaho had a couple that wanted to build on their land, but essentially the EPA shut down all usable portions of the land because it was, quote, wetlands, and they couldn't build on their land, their dream home. Well, the United States Supreme Court finally ruled and ruled in favor of the Sacketts and against the EPA today. The Supreme Court voted to rein in the power of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to regulate wetlands in a complex decision. And it's the second time in a year that the court has curbed federal environmental authority. Wow. The nation's high court ruled in favor of an Idaho couple who had been battling federal officials for years over the right to develop their own property. And it said that the controversial Waters of the United States rule that critics say has led to excessive and at times overzealous regulation of private lands by the EPA, that in fact those lands that the EPA claimed jurisdiction over, they did not have jurisdiction over. This is an incredible ruling, and this is going to have some very, very significant implications in the times to come. Moving next, we're going to go to And Magazine. The FBI has crossed the Rubicon. So essentially, Sam Faddis, we got to get Sam Faddis back on. We're working to do that. The recently exposed Durham report painted a graphic picture of an agency out of control. The FBI did not blunder into an investigation of Donald Trump, his campaign, and associates. The FBI undertook to deliberately destroy Trump and those around him, including General Flynn. The FBI took into itself the power to decide who could be president, end quote. If you're not familiar with the Rubicon, there was a river in Italy, and the Italian, at that time, Roman militaries could not cross that river. And if they crossed it, it was essentially a declaration of civil war. Well, the Rubicon River was crossed by Julius Caesar, and that effectively ended the Roman Republic, as it were, at least at that time. And this is, I know it's an oversimplification, but just go with it for a second. And the idea is when government is weaponized against political opponents, this is what happens. And that is exactly what Sam Faddis is talking about regarding the FBI, that it has crossed that Rubicon and effectively declared war against the American people by taking into its hands what is rightfully and is constitutionally in the hands of we the people. And that is who we elect as president of the United States. I know that there is an electoral college. I got it. We actually elect electors, but it results in the election of the president of the United States. That brings us next to Gateway Pundit. Now, I have a couple of articles on this. I'm just going to go through them really quick. Missouri versus Biden lawsuit discovery. Now, I want you to hear this. So discovery is you send what are called interrogatories and requests for production to the other side. They will send back documents. They'll send back answers to the questions. So the Missouri versus Biden lawsuit discovery, quote, Biden regime designates your thoughts as part of government infrastructure. They call it cognitive infrastructure, and they believe it is their right to control it. They literally believe they can control your thoughts. Now, I've talked about it on the show before. It's called activity-based intelligence. The idea is you create a dossier so comprehensive on every human being that they know you better than you know yourself. 6,000 data points. And the idea then is you can introduce stimulus or information and get people to behave a certain way. Cognitive infrastructure. We're going to go ahead and post this up on Twitter here in a second. I think everybody needs to read this article because it is so creepy, number one. But number two, this is exactly what they believe. They believe they can own you. And they believe also that human beings should be controlled by some kind of central force. And that's going to be the focus of what we're going to talk about here in just a second with the World Economic Forum. But next, why this is important is because if you disagree with them, then you start being smeared and labeled. The Biden regime lumps Christians, conservatives, and Republicans in the same category as Nazis and new DHS anti-terrorism program. So, this new anti-terrorism program, and it's a grant initiative, explicitly lumps the Republican Party as well as Christians and conservative groups in the same category as Nazis, according to the documents shared exclusively with Fox News Channel. Again, from Gateway Pundit, I'm going to put this one up there online. Read it as well. This is the weaponization of government against people they disagree with, period. End of story. That's it. And so to my Democrat friends, why would you ever support anything like this? Because eventually it will be turned against you. That brings us next on the national front to Franklin Graham. Now, Franklin Graham has been pretty outspoken here, at least in recent times, but this is an interesting thing that he has finally come out and said. Now, for those who have been kind of following what's happening in the world, this is not a surprise, but I just want to highlight it because Franklin Graham said it. Franklin Graham warns Christians to, quote, get ready and be prepared, end quote, for the coming storm. As chaos and evil rip through the United States and across the planet, Reverend Franklin Graham is warning Christians to brace themselves for a coming storm and says that if it feels like every demon in hell has been unleashed upon us. Now, again, this is worldview. So if I feel like I can't do anything about it, there's evil in the world, I can't do anything about it, then it just seems hopeless. But if you understand the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, then you understand that God has given us exactly the authority and the power to deal with this issue and to deal with evil not only in the United States but around the world. And this is what Christians need to do. Christians everywhere, every church everywhere needs to be doing this. Fighting back the evil in their community. And so let's get a taste. Let's get a taste of what that actually means and what that actually looks like, this approach to evil. Now, we're going to go ahead and that's the briefing, but it's kind of continuing because we're going to talk about Yuval Noah Harari. The best way to label him is really as kind of the theologian of the World Economic Forum. He is kind of the spiritual advisor, if you will, of the World Economic Forum. So let's start. We're going to go through this. We're going to stop it as we play it. And I'm going to just talk about kind of what the truth is that is being either twisted or completely turned upside down.
Any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy? You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore.
Okay, let's go stop that right there. Do you hear what he said? They need a new religion because Christianity is not good enough for them to control the world. Yeah, that's the entire point. So you can't control the world. That's what Christianity is going to stop you from doing. But they say they need a new religion. And where should it come from? Silicon Valley. Well, they can't even manage their banks right down there in Silicon Valley. Why on earth would they be the source of a religion? But at least he's being honest. The World Economic Forum is a religion. Go ahead.
Not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology. Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on Earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being.
What are humans
for? I want to talk about that quickly. This is their quest for eternal life. They want eternal life. They just don't want God to be a part of that equation. And you heard it from his mouth. Go ahead.
As far as we know, for nothing. I mean, there is no great cosmic drama, some great cosmic plan that we have a role to play in it. And we just need to discover what our role is and then play it to the best of our ability. This has been the story of all religions and ideologies and so forth, but as a scientist, the best I can say, this is not true. There is no universal drama with a role in it for Homo sapiens. If you repeat a lie...
Okay, so what he's saying is there is no purpose for human beings. So whatever makes you, from the previous clip, whatever makes you happy... Whatever brings you eternal life, makes you happy, apparently that's your purpose. But he even says that human beings don't have a purpose. So that is a self-contradictory statement there. And you also notice that when he says that human beings don't have a purpose, the natural implication of that, that you can do whatever you want to do to even other people, is never explained, or at least, just to be, we could be fair with him, maybe it's glossed over. Clearly not mentioned. Go ahead, roll it.
Often enough, people will think it's the truth, and the bigger the lie, the better. Because people won't even think that, oh, it's not something so big can be a lie. And I think that fake news have been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible.
We have all this still.
So, calling the Bible fake news, which, here's what's fascinating about this. No other religion or religious book except the Bible has had prophecies hundreds of years ahead of time filled in exactitude. In fact, to the extent that a Medo-Persian king listened to the prophecy because it had been fulfilled, so a pagan king. No other book, you can go research religions, no other book except the Bible has been that accurate. So obviously, when he does believe that you tell a lie often enough, it becomes a truth, and that is exactly the strategy of the World Economic Forum. Go ahead.
Myth of free will, that everything we choose is of our own free will, and this is a myth that served us well for a couple of centuries. But now it's becoming dangerous. The easiest people to manipulate.
So hear that. You don't have free will, and you shouldn't have free will because free will is dangerous. Wow, that sounds exactly like the words of a tyrant or the words of Satan, either way. Now, the other thing that I neglected to mention on the previous clip is the lie that has been told time and time again is that Christianity would end, that God is dead. Well, no, he isn't. He's actually very much alive. Go ahead.
It's becoming dangerous. The easiest people to manipulate are the people who believe in free will. Because you manipulate them, and they don't even suspect, because, hey, I chose it because this is my free will.
Okay, so he's telling you, again, going back to activity-based intelligence, I know you better than you know yourself. I can therefore manipulate you, and with free will, you're never even going to realize you're being manipulated. And actually, that is the case today in America with fifth-generation warfare, the battle of narratives and ideas, where people don't even know. They have no clue that they're being manipulated because they're not reading. They haven't really studied history. They don't read primary sources. And they get their news from somebody who tells them what to think, not how to think. And I would say here at Patriot Radio, we're trying to get people to think, teach them how to think, how to observe things, instead of telling them what to think. Go ahead.
Are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like?
This so is will that be Jesus in the background?
By the people who own the data. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. But control of data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. All of life.
All right, let's talk about this quickly. So Satan is the original entity that thought he could hack humanity. And he couldn't fathom in his wildest dreams that Jesus Christ was the answer and the solution. So when you hear this kind of stuff, he believes he will be part of that digital dictatorship. Klaus Schwab, he dresses even like a digital dictator. But then he goes a step further, that they can control essentially and engineer life itself. In other words, they could engineer a lower class of people to do all of the work while the upper class or the elites don't. Well, this sounds very, very familiar because you heard it in 1933 in Nazi Germany. And you heard it in many other dictatorships as well. Go ahead, roll.
Pioneers, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design.
I'm sorry, what did he just say? Evolution by intelligent design. Okay, here's the key thing you need to understand here, just from logical standpoint. He is admitting there is so much truth written into creation. There is a language at the DNA level. There is computer language. There is the ability to do chemistry, the ability digitally to create programs. So therefore, there is language. There is an intelligent design behind language. Where did all that come from? And he never would explain that because he has to admit it came from somewhere. It came from God. So what he is trying to do now, it's very subtle if you catch it, he's trying to put himself or supplant, he's trying to put himself in the place of God as the intelligent designer. Go ahead.
Intelligent design of some God above the clouds. But our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our
clouds. I guess it's not so subtle now.
The IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds. Science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. Humans.
So basically, he's saying that people could live inside computers.
Options that
like
some people talk
Tron.
About is that only a catastrophe can shake humankind and open the path to a real system of global governance. And they say that we can't do it before the catastrophe, but we need to start laying the foundations so that when the disaster strike, we can react quickly. But people will just not have the motivation to do such a thing before the disaster strikes.
So he's saying that they need a catastrophe to bring about global governance. And we've been talking about this on Patriot Radio a lot over the last 10 years, actually, that there is a plan that they're building right now. They're building this plan up, and they're waiting for the moment. And don't you find it interesting that Rahm Emanuel, Don't Let a Good Crisis Go to Waste, is in the Pacific? It's almost like they know a catastrophe is coming, and they're just waiting for it so that they can bring forward global governance. In fact, that is exactly the plan, and you heard it out of his own mouth. Go ahead.
Hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will, and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored in this time of crisis.
He is literally admitting election. You hear that? He's literally admitting election manipulation, and he is admitting market manipulation in the stores. And this is from his own mouth. And people are saying, oh, there's no evidence of any of this. Look, this is exactly what they want to do. You're hearing it right now.
Have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to, but in a crisis you see we have no chance, so let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go
the
to
vaccine
test, of course.
Will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance, people could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century.
So it's not creepy enough to be surveilling people based on their cell phones. We want it under your skin. You first, and never me or anybody listening to Patriot Radio today.
Is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
By hacking organisms.
And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian regimes, but even in democracies.
Who
and
agreed?
Maybe most importantly,
I didn't agree.
At all,
Travis,
this was
did you
the
agree?
Moment when surveillance started going under the skin. Because really, we haven't seen anything yet.
In recent years, we saw populist politicians.
So, by the way, just catch the subtle thing there, too. He's talking about coronavirus and COVID. He's talking about the vaccines and that's the moment when surveillance goes under the skin. So he's actually admitting what they're going to be doing with vaccinations. Go ahead.
Mining deliberately the trust that people have in important institutions like universities, like respectable media outlets. These populist politicians told people that, say, scientists are this small elite, disconnected from the real people. You shouldn't believe them. And you had all these conspiracy theories that climate change is just a hoax, it's not real, and that the earth is actually flat, and that vaccinations are bad for you, and this spread. But I don't think it's too late. Especially in an emergency, people can change their views very fast, and they can discover hidden reservoirs of trust. You look.
Okay. So hear that. They want to have a crisis so it'll build trust in people because they're losing the information war. So everybody out there right now, this is why you should hit like and share on shows like Patriot Radio and on the Facebook posts and the Twitter posts, but preferably Gab posts. Hit share, hit like, and get the real information out there because these guys are even admitting they're losing the information war. Go ahead.
In this crisis, who do people trust? They trust scientists above everything else. In all countries.
Not anymore.
In Israel, they close down the synagogues. In Iran, they close the mosques. Churches all over the world are telling people don't come to church. The Pope is doing all these ceremonies on Zoom or YouTube. And why do they do all this? Because the scientists recommended it. Even the
So basically he's saying the scientists run the church. Now this is a message to every pastor out there, every ministry leader out there. God runs the church, not scientists. Science is a method, not a control mechanism. Go ahead.
Religious leaders have trust in the scientists.
We need some kind of global loyalty and global identity.
Earth will be populated or even dominated by entities that are not organic, that they don't breathe, they don't have emotions. Like the potential of AI is much, much bigger than any historical revolution. It's really a biological revolution.
And now if you give the tools to start changing or overcoming biology, just, you know, think about sex life. Mm-hmm. Almost every religion and every ideology wanted to really change human sexuality or limit it, but they couldn't. You had vows of chastity in the church, and how many people actually lived up to the vows of chastity? Now think, if you can really start messing with human biology, what will be the result of these sexual fantasies of different religions and ideologies?
That is absolutely one of the more disgusting things he's actually said. Sex essentially without any bounds with every single person you want to. Again, going against directly the beauty of sex inside of marriage and the procreation that comes out of it. Go ahead.
And the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
Good evening. Okay, I think that's enough for today. He literally is admitting that they want to reduce the population of the world and that the interim solution is drugs, implication of alcohol, and computer games. So for those of you struggling out there, maybe with addictions to those things, understand that these are control mechanisms. They're intentional control mechanisms. And quite literally, after watching all of that and listening to that serious stuff, I think maybe this is actually what they want to see all human beings doing. Go ahead and cue the robot dance. You know what I think, Travis? I think I want to live in a world where Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that I am called according to his purpose, that he has a destiny for me, and he has empowered me to walk that out, and that our God reigns. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. He is making this generation the greatest one. The awakening is here. Keep up the fight.